In Mark chapter 12, we have this command, and we talked about it already last weekend, but it says this, that we are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. And then the second one is equally important. It says, love your neighbor, and here's the key here, as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. We understand, again, the love God part. We understand the love your neighbor part. But normally, we kind of read over the last part where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I just want to remind you that notice Jesus did not say love your neighbor instead of yourself. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. There's an assumption, there's an implied assumption that to fulfill the command of God, to love God and love others, that we have to have a healthy relationship with ourselves, or we got to be healthy, right? And so last week we talked about being generous to yourself, and we looked at some practical ways on how to live that out. And I want to just kind of share a few more thoughts today as we come up on Thanksgiving, because again, and I'm just going to share this with you one more time. I pray that this year, maybe we would slow down. How many know you have control of your schedule? How many know, again, that in this busy time where we got so many things to do, no is a complete sentence. You don't have to give no plus an explanation of why it's no. Paul said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And essentially anything past that, you start getting yourself in a mess. Right? How many know that's true? But I want us to make a big deal of Thanksgiving this year, not necessarily the day itself, but putting more effort into developing a heart of gratitude. Right? Too often for us, gratitude is a single day on the calendar where we rush to a family meal on the last Thursday of November. We give our little nod of gratitude to Thanksgiving and it's over. Right? And I don't want us to just go through the motions of Thanksgiving. And can I just tell you this morning? Neither does God. I said, I don't want us to just go through and, oh, we got to get all the food ready. And the rolls got to be like all the stuff. Okay, we did that. Praise God, that one's over. But can I just tell you? The Lord himself wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. God knows if we don't live our life with a grateful heart, we are the biggest loser. Right? Developing a heart of gratitude is one of the most generous things you can do for yourself, because it not only changes the way you interact with people and the circumstances around you, it actually changes you. Right? I've been in ministry for over 30 years, and some of the kindest, most God-honoring, worshipful people that I've known are the ones who had the most reason not to be grateful, right? People who've lost loved ones, people who've lost children, people who are suffering with all kinds of sickness and disease, and people who are living in poverty, and life has given them a whole lot of reasons to be bitter, but they've chosen instead to be grateful, right? And how many would agree, when you find somebody who has every reason to be bitter, but they choose to be grateful, those people stand out, right? And when you ask them, why in the world are you so joyful in the middle of all that you're suffering through, in the middle of all of your loss, they always say something like this: gratitude doesn't change my circumstances, but it certainly changes me. I said, it doesn't necessarily change your circumstances. It doesn't bring that lost person back. It doesn't change what you may be walking through, but it does change how you walk through it. Gratitude has that kind of power. It's more than having a positive attitude. It's actually a spiritual discipline that refocuses our heart on what is true, good, and life-giving and lasting. When you intentionally practice gratitude, your attitude changes people and environments. And listen, and you'll actually become generous to your own soul. And because gratitude feeds your soul with hope instead of resentment. And even modern science agrees with what Scripture said for centuries. Research from the University of California at Berkeley found that people who practice the regular gratitude by writing notes, keeping journals, or expressing thanks are happier, they sleep better, They have lower blood pressure. They experience less depression. They show signs of improved cardiovascular health. In one study, patients with heart failure who kept a daily gratitude journal showed reduced markers of inflammation and better regulation of heart rhythm. But long before science ever came up with that, how many of you know the Apostle Paul was always preaching that? Right? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, verses 18 says this. He says, pray without ceasing. And then he says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul didn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but he did say we can give thanks in them, because even when life is full of suffering and hardship, gratitude is possible. And let me just say this to you. Gratitude is not denial of your reality. It's a declaration that even here in this mess, that God is still good. Right? When you choose to thank God in the middle of a mess, you're saying, I trust that you are bigger. Listen to me. You are bigger, and your goodness is bigger than my battle. Right? Focusing on the goodness of God in the middle of your pain has more power than I can possibly express to you. It literally will change everything about the way you experience life and the circumstances you walk through. If you walk through them with gratitude. Here's the transformational part. Gratitude produces generosity. When you're grateful, generosity just spills out of you. God's grace and His goodness produce gratitude in you, and that gratitude produces generosity. When you become aware of God's goodness in your life, and regardless of your circumstances, you start seeing grace, the grace of God at work around you, then the awareness of God will make you grateful. And gratitude toward God will naturally make you more generous. Grace, gratitude, and generosity overflow out of you. And the keystone of that equation is gratitude. Right? Psalm 23 says this. It says, my cup overflows with blessing. Anybody? Well, I had a flat tire, the kids are sick, and I hate my job, blah, blah. I'm overflow with blessing. Come on, somebody, because some people don't have children who want children. And some people, like, right, they have a hospital to go to when they are sick. Come on, somebody. Some people want to go to the job that you hate. His blessing overflows in my life. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Can I just tell you, like, listen, we're always like, the devil's chasing. Goodness and mercy and His blessing are supposed to be pursuing you. His goodness is running after you. That's what gratitude does. It overflows. Your awareness of His goodness and His unfailing love is pursuing you, and it fills your cup full of gratitude, and it spills over into generosity. When you realize how much grace God has given you, you can't extend. Listen, let me say it this way. When you realize how much grace God has given to you, you cannot not extend that same grace to other people. I would say if you're not extending grace to other people, you haven't really understood the magnitude of God's goodness to you. Right? It's impossible to be fully aware of God's grace in your life and not extend it to other people. An awareness of His grace will make you grateful, and grateful people spill out, overflow in generosity. Let me just say this to you. Listen, your spouse will feel it. Your coworkers will feel it. Your kids will feel it because gratitude or grateful people are contagious. Right now we're in a season where everybody's worried about being sick and we don't want to catch this. Gratitude is contagious. You know what I want to catch? I want to be around some people like where we're just full of gratitude. Right? It's contagious. Right? When somebody's walking through it, like you can show, like we can point them to the good God. Amen. But it all starts with being generous to yourself. If your inner life is filled with criticism, insecurity, fear, self-condemnation, then you're going to have nothing left to give to anybody else. Right? And what you do have left to spill on people, nobody wants. Because we already got that. Right? But if your heart is full of gratitude for God's goodness, even in the small things, it fights the negative influence as you become spiritually, emotionally a more healthy person. Right? Listen, gratitude is generosity in reverse. It's giving back to your soul what life has drained from you. When you take time to sit down and notice the good in your life, you're replenishing your heart. Come on, somebody. When you see the big God, the God that we serve, the awesome, mighty, powerful God, that listen, He cares about what you are walking through. How many know, like, you start realizing that you matter to Him? Man, listen, you stop and you notice His goodness, you're developing a heart of gratitude and it'll heal your soul. Right? Let me say this to you this morning. It's not ignoring the pain. It's just refusing to let the pain be the only story that you tell. I'm not suggesting that, oh, I'm not sick and I'm not here. No. You're sick and you're here. I'm not saying deny reality. I'm just simply saying that's not the only story I tell. Right? The more generous you are to yourself, the more you develop a heart of gratitude and it overflows out of you. Grateful people are, listen, isn't this true? They're better friends, better spouses, better co-workers, better followers of Jesus because, listen, we live with a constant awareness of God's grace and His activity and His goodness in my life and we don't take it for granted. I know this is silly and I say this every year, but I'm just going to tell you. Listen, we don't live in a fancy house, right? But listen, I still remember the day because for about 2 months before we bought our house, I would drive around that house and I'm like, Lord, if this is the house you want us to have and the price was way up here and I'm thinking there's no way. And every week I prayed, the house would go down in price. Right? And every time I walk out of my house, and again, it's not because it's a fancy house, but listen, I came up in a place where I was, my expectation of ever owning anything, anybody? Right? I was born into money. I was not. I wasn't even around anybody who thought they had money. Come on, somebody, right? And every time I walk out of my house, I'm like, thank you, God. I know, right? Well, it's dirty right now. Blah, blah, blah. We need to do this. No. Every time I walk out, I don't care if it's spick and span clean or got laundry everywhere. I don't care. God, I never thought you. It's just more fun to be around grateful people, isn't it? Once you choose gratitude and commit to see the world with grateful eyes, you realize that gratitude, though, has three enemies. Right? Discontentment, comparison, and entitlement. Isn't that true? One of the biggest strategies of your spiritual enemy is to rob you of gratitude by keeping you focused on what's missing from your life. Even in seasons of incredible blessing, he will keep you from enjoying what you have because you're too busy highlighting everything that everybody else has that you don't. Isn't that true? In this season, can I just tell you, there is no other time that we're more discontent, more comparison, right? And what the enemy wants to do, he wants to sow into your life discontentment, comparison, and entitlement into your heart. Think about it. The very first sin in the garden began with ingratitude. Isn't that true? Adam and Eve had everything they could possibly ever want. They had abundance, right? They had every need fulfilled. They had beauty. They had intimacy with God. But the serpent pointed out the one thing that they didn't have. Is this not the world that we live in today? The one thing that was off limits to them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he was saying, listen, I know you have all of this, and that's great, but what about this? Does the devil ever do that to you? I know you have this house, but you don't have granite countertops. I know you got this house, but you know what? You really need to paint it. I know you got this house, but you don't have a pool. I know you got this car, but it's not a new car. I know you got health, but you, right? Like, isn't it right? He's still, listen, the Satan is so stupid. He still does this. He still tries the same tricks. The problem is that sometimes the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but sometimes we are. And we keep going to the same thing, right? Because we get caught up into this, right? Comparison and discontentment. It will create entitlement and it breeds ingratitude in your heart. And the spirit behind discontentment and comparison and entitlement says, I can't truly be happy. I can't truly be grateful until I have what you have. I'm going to be happy when I get to the place where I've got this. Anybody? Isn't it true? And I'm just going to tell you this, church. Listen, discontentment robs you of your peace. Comparison steals your joy. And entitlement suffocates gratitude in your life. And it all combines to make you an ungrateful person. It's impossible to be a grateful person and an entitled person at the same time. One will kill the other. And whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to win. When you cultivate a grateful heart, you silence the enemy that's always telling you, but what about what they have? Or what about what you don't have? Gratitude silences the voice in your life, and gratitude, it says the exact opposite. Gratitude says this, listen to me, church. God, I already have more than I deserve. Anybody? Anybody in this place? I don't know what you're walking through this, but anybody in this place already have more than you ever thought you ever deserved. That's gratitude. That's freedom. That's peace. Right? That's spiritual maturity. And so I want to real quickly this morning give you four words, and I'm going to do it quick, to describe gratitude and really what biblical gratitude is, and probably some words that you don't necessarily always associate with gratitude, but let me just give you four. First of all, gratitude is supernatural. Gratitude is supernatural. Remember the passage in Luke chapter 17 when Jesus healed the 10 lepers and only one came back to say thank you to Jesus? Remember what he said in verse number 17, Jesus says, we're not 10 cleansed, we're the other nine. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? This is not God or Jesus, rather, giving a teaching on manners, right? Anybody have your mom and dad tell you, hey, say thank you? Or can we bring back manners and make your kids say thank you? Come on, somebody, right? But he's actually teaching us about a spiritual, supernatural power of gratitude. Because listen, the one who returned to give thanks received something supernatural that the others didn't. Right? Watch this. Listen to what Jesus says to the one who came back to give thanks. In verse number 19, it says, and he said to them, rise, go on your way, your faith has made you well. We read that and we're like, okay, that's great. But in the English, the word well was originally in the Greek, it's soho, sozo, excuse me, I'm not a Greek theologian, okay, but soho. It means whole or saved. How many would agree that's supernatural power? Nine were healed, yay, but only the grateful man was made whole. He was healed and made whole. There's something supernatural happened that the other nine did not get to experience because of his grateful heart. Gratitude is the pathway to your emotional, spiritual wholeness, and that's what God wants for you. Can I just say this to you, church? And I may get stoned for this, and that's okay. But Jesus doesn't just want to fix your circumstances. He wants to save you. Right? Thank God for healing. But how many know if you're healed and you're on your way to hell, your healing's not going to help you? Am I telling the truth? Jesus said, I'd rather you cut off your hand and go in with one hand than your whole body be caught. Right? He didn't want to just fix your circumstances. He wants to save you. He wants to make you whole, church. He's got a promise. He wants you to be spiritually whole, emotionally whole, physically whole, relationally whole, whole in every way. He didn't want to just fix your circumstances. He wants to transform you from the inside out. Gratitude is supernatural. Here's the second one. Gratitude is worship. Gratitude is noticing God. You start just noticing God in places where you've taken Him for granted. Right? Your eyes start getting trained to see God where you took Him for granted, and it turns into worship. Right? You start seeing a sunrise, and it's not just a sunrise. It's like our Creator created that, right? We had all the lights this last week, right? The aurora lights and the northern lights and all the stuff, and we slept through it. I don't ever get those notes. You know what I'm saying? Not because I don't appreciate the beauty of God. I just didn't get it until Facebook the next day, right? But right? But like with a heart of gratitude, man, like you're grateful for laughter. You're grateful for relationship. Last night, I'm going to embarrass my wife just a little bit, but we're sitting on the couch watching Florida lose again. It was a hard fight. It was a hard fight. Fought. Hallelujah! Come on, somebody, put your arm down there, Rob. We saw that. That's making me ungrateful. But I just looked over to her and I just said, you know, and I know it's silly, right? We're coming up on 30 years. December 13th will be 30 years, and some of you guys got a lot more than been married a lot longer. That whole thing. But I was just like, I don't know. All day, I was just like, I can't believe I got to marry Michelle. I know some of you are like, well, you have my, no, that's you're not my monkey, not my circus, right? Right. I'm just simply saying I was just overwhelmed with the goodness of God. But how so many times we just take that for granted? Man, when you're just gratitude, like I just started giving thanks, and I know that's silly probably for some of you guys, but I was like, God, thank you for a healthy marriage. Not a perfect marriage, right? There are times that she has murder in her heart. I know that for a fact. Call somebody, right? We've never talked of divorce, but murder, right? Come on, somebody. Not really much. But man, just living with a grateful heart. It's like your eyes, when you wake up in the morning and it adjusts to the light of His presence again. Gratitude trains your eyes to find His goodness in every situation. And it keeps your heart worshipful. Psalm, listen, this is so good. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? Psalm 100, verse number 4 says this: enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. I want you to notice this. Access to God's presence is granted to the grateful. Come on, somebody. Access to the Lord's presence. He opens the gates to those who are thankful. Man, that's good. I don't ever feel anything. Check your heart. Right? If you come in with complaints, guess what? It's what's going to come out. But if you'll come in with a grateful heart, because listen, if everything's messed up, but God's still good, come on, somebody. Right? Gratitude is worship. If we let life, it can harden us, right? But worship and gratitude will refocus our attention on a faithful God who's always good, and that keeps our hearts centered. It reminds me that God is still with me and He's still working and that He's good in every situation, even when I can't see His activity. Right? Gratitude is a worshipful declaration of your faith, that gratitude in face of hardship is an adversity, and adversity is a defiant faith that says, listen, God, you're here with me in this mess, and I see you, I notice you, and you are good, and I choose to trust you. And let me just tell you, that is not the normal American way to live. But listen, gratitude is worship. Also, number three, gratitude is spiritual warfare. You might not think of gratitude as warfare, but every time you thank God in the middle of your pain, you're pushing back against the darkness. When you say, thank you, Lord, while your heart's still breaking, you're reminding the enemy, listen to me, church, this morning. You don't get to write my story. The goodness of God is going to write my story. I'm going to say that one more time just for me. You don't even have to listen this time. I said, listen, Satan, you don't get to write my story. The goodness of my God gets to write my story. Right? The goodness of God is going to write my story. And this changing season that I'm walking through right now is not going to make me forget about the unchanging God that I serve forever. Because listen, whatever you're going through a high time, it's not going to last. You're going through a lull right now, it's not going to last. Right? Like life is up a series of ups and downs. But can I just tell you, I'm keeping my eyes because I'm grateful. I'm going to keep my eyes on a God who is good all the time. Paul and Silas understood this. In Acts chapter 16, they were beaten and unjustly thrown into prison. I wonder what they'd do for Facebook. Ain't putting me in. Moving on. And while they were still in shackles, they sang hymns to God. Here's what it says in verses 25 through 26. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds fell unfastened. Finding the goodness of God's situation in every situation, and being grateful is an act of spiritual warfare. Right? Did you read what it said? It said an earthquake shook the prison. The doors flew open on their own. Chains fell off because gratitude, church, listen, gratitude breaks change. It breaks the chains in your life. It may not always change your circumstances, but it will immediately. How many know this to be true? Gratitude will immediately change your perspective. And then number four, worship team, you guys can come. Gratitude is generational. The culture you create in your home is contagious. Let me say that again. The culture that you create in your home is contagious. If your home is filled with discontentment and comparison and entitlement, that's what you're going to pass on to your kids. But if you commit to build a culture of gratitude in your life and in your home, it will impact generations. My mom and dad both grew up with very little. They both faced their fair share of hardships. But here's what I learned from them. And again, we pick at my mom because my mom, she had 13 brothers and sisters. Like my dad, I told you the story. Like he was like, the first time my mom made chili for my dad when they first got married, like he was like, got his spoon. He's like, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, it's cool off. He said, I'm trying to find a piece of meat. Like it was just, he said, it's just like orange water. Because when you got 13 brothers and sisters, you just used a little bit. We pick up my mom. We're like, if somebody was giving away today wet cardboard boxes, she would wait until they dried and then she'd go pick them up because they were free. Like she didn't have much. Honestly, they didn't expect much. Right? Because they just brought up in a culture where in their family, that's just like, well, you just never, that's just what it. Let me put it in modern day, the statement that I hate. It is what it is. Just gonna be there. Right? But here's what they did. They always taught me to focus on the goodness of God. Right? Instead of complaining about everything, listen, they just decided, hey, instead of complaining about everything, I'm just gonna be focused on what's good in my life. Instead of focusing on what I don't have, I'm going to give God thanks for all the things I do have. Right? It's the secret. Right? I'll be happy when. Man, when I get this bill paid off, you'll make another bill. I can't tell you the number of people. A few years ago, I'll just be honest, a few years ago, we used to do Dave Ramsey a lot. And I'm a fan of Dave Ramsey. And I was so proud. I was like, this is awesome. Man, we're getting out of debt. People were telling me, they were giving testimonies, man, I finally got out of debt. You know how many people are out of debt right now, out of that class? So if you're waiting to be out of debt to be happy, newsflash, because of our discontentment, we just want to be debt-free so we can buy something else. I'm not saying you shouldn't be. I'm just simply saying, isn't it true? Right? Because listen, Adam and Eve had it all. And a little snake, a little serpent. That's probably why I don't like snakes. Well, I know you think you have it all. I mean, you've got 99% of everything, but God told you you can't have this. And we go off chasing that one thing. But church, what if the first thing your children and your grandchildren, your coworkers thought about when they thought about you is how thankful you are for all the goodness of God? So I want to challenge you this morning. And I promise you, if you'll do this challenge, not because this is some great message by Pastor Jeff, but because it is the Word of God. And listen, listen, if you work the Word of God works. The problem is we want all the blessings of God. We want all the blessings of God without the Lordship of God. Right? But I want to challenge you this morning because I believe it will actually change your whole entire, not just Thanksgiving this year, but actually your entire life. Here's the first thing I want you to do. I want to just challenge you for every day for the next 10 days. I think there's 10 days until Thanksgiving. Choose a different person to thank every day. That's 10 people for the next 10 days. It could be a teacher, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a family member, whoever, cashier, right? But I want you to sit down and prayerfully think about and come up with 10 meaningful people in your life that you could actually express gratitude for. The second thing, and if you can't come up with 10 people you can be thankful for, you might have a gratitude problem. Okay, come on, somebody say, I can't come up with 10 people. If you don't have 10 friends, that's probably a problem. Okay, I'm just going to say that, right? Because the Bible says, if you want to have friends, what do you got to do? Be friendly. I don't got no friends. That's because you're mean. Just not you. The people are not here today, okay? Right? Just kidding. But here's the second thing. Write a letter or send a note or an email or text. And you can verbally express it, but I promise you, like, you need to put it down in print because I promise you they're going to need to go back to it. They're going to need to see your expression of gratitude long after you've offered it. Again, probably for most of you may be silly, but I've been here for almost, well, next July will be 16 years, and some of you are like, we know. Okay, but 16 years. And I know, you know, we used to do pastor appreciation and birthdays real big, and now it's like nobody really, like, it's not such a big deal. And that's not a bad thing. But one thing that like, I don't really care about gift, like, right, so much. But one thing that I have every single one that anybody has ever given to me, whether it's come from my children, right? I've got a book that they got me last year that's just a picture book, and it's got pictures of me with all of my kids in different places and different stuff. It's in my office, right? I have boxes and boxes of every single card that anybody's ever given to me, maybe with the exception of cat cards. But every single card, you're like, that's silly. No. Because sometimes they'll write something in there, like, thank you for the ministry, well, whatever. And on the bad days, you know what I do? I don't sit in my office and cry like, man, this ministry thing is hard. You know what I do? I pull out those boxes that you gave me in 2015, right? I always joke, I'm like, when people used to love you, come on somebody, right? I pull them out and I read them and I just remind myself. So when I say print it out, like, right, find a text is great, right? All that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you, and I know that, you know, oh, it's so hard to write out stuff. And right, I get it. But can I just tell you, listen, I cannot tell you the number of times I've gone back and just read cards. Right? Because you can say, oh, good message, Pastor. But listen, sometimes I need, right? I say Jesus with skin on. Sometimes I need it in printed form, right? And you do too. Hey, sweet, I tell my wife way too much. And again, I'm trying not to overshare here, but I'm not being inappropriate at all. But I just tell her, like last night, I said, I just want you to know I appreciate you. Right? Because we just take those things for granted. Because we get so busy with life. I got kids. People have had kids for all eternity and they still were grateful. If you're too busy to be grateful, moving on. But just tell them what you're grateful for. Let me just give you an example. Maybe you could just do this, write down and just say, I don't know if you even remember this, but 5 years ago I was going through a hard time. And you prayed for me, and I just want you to know I'll never forget that moment. And it's great if you tell them, but it's better if you put it on a card. Right? And here's the third thing. If you'll just do one of these, it'll still start you on a journey. Right? Keep a gratitude journal and write down what you're grateful for. Say a prayer or write out a prayer of gratitude, right? Because, man, we're just like, oh, right, I don't journal, I'm a guy. Okay. Well, be a grump. Okay, I don't know what to tell you. Right? I'm not saying, right, and that may not be your thing, but just, like, listen, on your phone so it's not a journal. Just write down what you're grateful for. Because we're so busy, we don't actually stop to think about what's good in our life. We have everything good, but, man, I stopped my toe this morning. Okay, well, you're walking. Come on, somebody, right? So we have some on the back you can pick up if you'd like to. Do it on your phone. I'm just simply saying, thank God for the goodness in your life and not just at Thanksgiving. Because let me just tell you, he's not been good to you just for Thanksgiving. Amen? And it's powerful. And if you'll do it for 10 days, by the time Thanksgiving comes around, you'll be on your way to becoming a different person, right? Can you just imagine? I just want you to think, and you guys can go ahead and stand. Can you imagine what would happen if everyone in our church actually took what I said this morning seriously? Not because Pastor Jeff said it, but because thus saith the Lord, to give thanks in all things. Not because all things, because it's not all good. We're like, oh, we're all good. I say that all the time. I'm like, it's not all good, right? But what if we took God's word seriously this morning and we actually started expressing gratitude to people and they actually experienced the overflow of God's grace through your life? And I really want you to think about it. How many people would be impacted? Think about it, church. How could your family be impacted? How could we impact our community or in a school and church this Thanksgiving if we just would show the goodness of God to other people? Again, because I've got about, I don't know, hundreds of cards in my office that people have long since forgotten about. Oh, it's just a card that I probably read once every 3 months. So you didn't think it was an impact on somebody. You don't think it's going to impact anybody. Well, my wife knows I appreciate her. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. No. How would it impact your wife? I wish she'd get her act together. Well, if you get your pen in hand, right? Come on, somebody. what would happen if we actually did it? And all of a sudden, in a few years from now, or even next week, you start hearing testimonies of, man, somebody, Brady comes up and says, hey, somebody, he just sent me this text, just appreciating some spiritual, right? Because there's people, right? I try my best. Like, you know, I like see things in people, right? I don't know about you, but I can't change the world. I can change one world. And if one person and another person and another person, how much more fun would it be? I've got it too. Because everybody knows all the problems. And I'm not telling you to deny reality. I'm just simply saying that's not the only story we tell. Yes, I'm walking through this, but yes, I'm walking through this. My God is bringing you through this.